Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited about our show today. I have Morgan Carroll with me, and Morgan is an actor, a comedian, and blogger. She works as an event planner and running her own wedding coordinating business on the side while she pursues creativity and her large aspirations. It is my pleasure to welcome Morgan to our show today.
Hello, Belinda. How are you?
I am well, and just for all of our listeners, we record these and then they're posted many weeks later. We're kind of moving forward with our regular schedules during this crazy quarantining period of time. So I just want to thank you for continuing to hold the schedule today. I think as much as we can do to stay positive and in our normal routines is really important at this time.
Totally. I completely agree. And thank you for having me. It's exciting to have this going on and you know, as a fun interruption to my day that has been kind of redefined with the whole quarantine. But you're right. It's good to stay in as much of a routine as you can during these very mysterious times.
Absolutely. So why don't we just jump in? Let's learn a little bit more about you, fill us in on some of the gaps from your bio, and then just tell us a little bit more about you and, more importantly, your journey, how you got to where you are today.
Definitely. Well, I think you pretty much covered it all in that very roundabout bio. I love it. I think I am an actor and a comedian, and I do have a blog that I contribute to on a few different platforms, and I got there from a very interesting place of working a few corporate jobs first. And then I kind of tapped into, you know, what is it that I want the rest of my career to look like? And while I'm in my 20s and I can kind of redefine, not that you can't do that at any age, but, you know, while I'm young and a little more flexible, how can I set myself up for, you know, what I want to be doing, what I feel most passionate about? So, pursuing those things now. Initially, I had moved to New York from the Midwest, and I got a job at Time Inc., which is the magazine publisher, and worked for a few of their major brands, which was very exciting. I was on their marketing team, and I loved most about that job working the events and going to different markets. And I was with Health Magazine and Cooking Light Magazine, so we did 5K runs all over the country. We did a few like health and wellness spa weekends, things like that, that we hosted. And I kind of got the event planning bug from there. So from Time Inc., I went and worked for an agency where we had a whole, you know, we were kind of on the other side of the business where I wasn't the client, but I was working multiple. And, their creative needs. I was on the creative strategy side. And I think it was a nice way to kind of fill that creative void that I have that I kind of need that outlet in my everyday life. So did that for a while. And then was kind of getting this like itch of like, you know, this is paying the bills and the office is, you know, it's okay for me, but it doesn't necessarily like fill my soul, so to speak. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like I was completely on track with what I wanted to be doing long term. And that's kind of when the wheels started turning as to like, okay, I need to set myself up for a better career here. And I then got a job with I kind of went a new direction. I did more corporate event planning and worked for a financial services company. And that was very different from what I had been doing. A good challenge, but then it kind of launched me into like, okay, this, you know, this corporate lifestyle isn't necessarily for me. And I was able to, in that time that I was both at the agency and at this more corporate financial job on the side, I had started my own wedding coordinating business called Save the Day Bridal. And I was working with private clients, you know, brides of in the tri-state area, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, and surrounding, to help bring their wedding days to life. And I would work with them anywhere from 1 month out to 6 months out. And then, of course, on the day of, and help make their, bring everything together. But that was nice because when I did decide to quit my corporate job, I could kind of fall back on that wedding planning business. And that was supporting me while I got acting and comedy off the ground. And then I've been able to, in the past year, really, you know, create a consistent income and keep very busy and do what I love to do. And it's been really fantastic. I'm grateful for all of my experiences, as different as they all were, because I think they've just compounded and led me into the next wave of what I want to be doing.
I think it's really important. People at all ages, I think it's important that you said you can do whatever you want to do at any age, but you're like really saying, I can do whatever I want to do here. But you did something that I think is worth pointing out for everybody listening. And I think it's important for anyone wanting to pursue something different. So you're in this corporate job, but you sort of start this bridal event planning thing so that you can then have that to fall back on, which then led you to doing your acting. And so it, you always sort of had something that was allowing you a stream of income while you were pursuing another opportunity or another dream or something that you really wanted to do. And I just, I think there's a lot of people that want to pursue a dream, but they feel like all the T's have to be crossed, all the I's have to be dotted,
right,
and everything has to be perfect. And it's like, no, you can do that alongside something that you're doing. And then
totally.
I honestly think a lot of times it makes the job that maybe you don't enjoy as much, when you know that you're doing it as a purpose to provide an income for building this next adventure or this next journey of your career, your life, it's like it makes it actually more exciting to go to that job because
yes,
it's actually exactly. providing a real purpose for you other than just showing up every day.
Fortunately, Ben, I do always have multiple interests in income just because I to stay busy naturally, and I feel work as work. Like, work to me is something I enjoy and I like to do it no matter what it is, whether that's babysitting or whether that's doing focus groups on the side or it's this freelance event planning. Like, I think I've been lucky in the way that I approach it, and I've kind of just seen it as like, oh, this is what I do to fill my time, and you know, I get to make money from it. And I think, you know, it just kind of came from following like impulses. And when I knew I liked, when I first started the wedding planning thing, I knew I liked to run this show and I wanted to do more production because I had gone from doing production at Time Inc. to doing more creative strategy behind the scenes work at this agency that I was at. And I missed that. I missed, like, you know, being on the ground and with these people who need the help. And I was like, okay, I'll just do it. I'll just go out there, try to build this business. And I ended up doing really well. And I was able to, I mean, it sucked up all my time to have a full-time job and this, but I loved it. I loved creating something and knowing that I could pour my time and my heart into something and get, a reward out of it. And I think it also showed me, like, that experience in and of itself, just going after something and following that urge and that curiosity and then seeing it come to life, showed me that you can do whatever you want to do. Like, it's possible. It's just a matter of starting it and taking that first step and then allowing it to build on, you know, this, whatever you've just completed, and turn into something bigger.
Very good. So how has the business shaped your lifestyle today?
The business in terms of event planning?
Whichever one. Like, you can share whichever one you want.
Well, because I'm all over the place and, you know, I'll wake up and I will do event work for 3 hours and then I will babysit in the afternoon and then I'll submit a self-tape audition for something by 6 p.m. And then I have a comedy show that night because like no 2 days are the same. And there's really no like theme as to where my work falls. I operate solo all the time. And when I work, I like to work from my home so that I'm, you know, in a comfortable space and I have access to the things that I need. And I have, you know, reliable Wi-Fi and things of the sort. But, the businesses that I have that I call my own are very flexible, which is great. And I can really dictate and own my own schedule, which is very important. And I'm in New York, so I'm running around all over the place. And it's good. I mean, I'm able to do work on the go, obviously, and check my email throughout the day. So as much as, you know, I am working from home and making a life that way, I am just kind of working on my own time and whenever I want to.
Very good. So let's talk about skill sets. What do you think you've identified as a couple of your really good skill sets that have helped you in managing either multiple businesses or trying new things? Or what are your skill sets that you think are sort of your superpower?
That's a great question. My superpower. I'm able to inspire myself, I think. And sometimes I do things and, you know, I'm in a business where if you get a response, you know, you get a call back for something, then you feel that surge of motivation. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. if you have a good show, then you feel really good. And I have a lot of those opportunities in my daily life to kind of say, oh, cool, that went well. You know, I feel motivated to try it again or to do another. Granted, there's also a lot of the opposite, but I think I'm able to identify what fuels me and what keeps me going and just do it again. And I think another skill set is just not being, you know, downtrodden by the negative and all the no's, because you do hear a lot of no's, mm-hmm. Especially nowadays. Right now, you know, with all of this virus happening, there's no events happening. So, I'm not seeing as much event work right now, but understanding that you cannot harp on negative feedback or hearing no, and you just have to focus on the progress you've made and looking at what you have accomplished and kind of just every day saying, okay, what did I do? How do you know, what felt good, what feels right? And how can I make that bigger and better tomorrow? I think is important. I don't harp on negativity. I'm impulsive in a way that when I have an idea, I just do it. And I, you know, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, but I'm quick to act. And I'm very grateful that I've somehow developed that as a skill.
That's awesome. So I've worked in sales for basically my whole entire life. And I teach sales training to a lot of people. And so one of the biggest things that salespeople deal with, especially, you know, women, is the fear of no. There's just such huge fear around this rejection thing. And so it causes them to never even really make the call in the first place, especially in customer care or follow-up or... But I know because my daughter is actually in acting as well, and she has been since she's been a very little girl, and since she was five, and so she's had lots of no's. There's been lots of auditions. Yeah. There's been more no's than yeses. There's been tons and tons of, you know, commercials that she's auditioned for, and people think like, oh, she's been in two, but it's like, but you don't see the 50 or the 60 that she went and auditioned for and got a no. And I always say the one thing that's always impressed me about her, even as a child, is she just kind of goes, okay, well, that was fun, or that was okay, and that was interesting meeting that person. So what about where's the next one? And so you're dealing with this on a regular basis, and it's something that people really, so you brought it up. I was actually going to, I'd already made a note, like talk to her about the no's, and then you started down the path, but let's just talk about it a little bit more, because I'm telling you, it paralyzes so many people that they're so fearful of this no. And in reality, it's just not really, it doesn't mean anything. It's like,
yeah.
So can you speak to that?
I would love to. I think, unfortunately, no, and this fear of rejection is so crippling for so many people, and especially women. And I think when I was going through this process of leaving my other job, I was simultaneously, I had stopped drinking and I was getting sober, and I'm now like 15 months sober, and it's helped me to think so much more clearly and just grab a hold on like what is important and what actually matters, and others' feedback and like seeking that validation has just proven to not matter at all. So I think that was kind of also a big part of my journey and, you know, getting to this point where I'm okay with no, and I'm okay with taking risks, and, you know, I almost enjoy them. And, you know, just because there's so much more, the reward is so much greater when you can take a risk. And I think it, you know, you just can't take no's, you can't take them personally. I think it's, and that is a superpower that, you know, your daughter is so fortunate to have. And you make such a great point that, like, I submit to however many casting calls a day, or, you know, I submit for X amount of commercials, and I send in all of these tapes, and you're right, you get one out of every 30, one out of every 50, whatever they need at that point in time. And you just can't take it personally. You have to kind of say, you know, their loss, I am not what they're looking for. They clearly have a very specific person in mind, and it's not meant to be. And the no's are all part of the journey. You know, everything happens for a reason, and you don't know what you're being protected from or held back from, you know, by higher powers of the universe or whatever you believe in. You know what I mean? But there's just always a reason, and your time will come, and the no's are there for a reason too. And I think all it can do is, you know, is build character and help you kind of, you know, become more comfortable in your own skin and just be okay with the world and hearing no and the way it is.
I think the biggest takeaway there that you said, and it's so true, but you just can't take it personally. And it feels personal at the time, but like when people say, oh, I was just calling to see if you are needing any more of this right now, or if you're out of your whatever, you're out of your shampoo, and the person says, no, I'm good. It's like they're not saying, I don't ever want you to call me again. I don't I don't like you. They're saying, no, I don't need any shampoo today.
And it's just a simple answer.
And like you, with your case, it might be, well, she just really isn't tall enough. I mean, one time, like I'm wondering why her agent even called her, but she got called in as a teenager to be in a commercial. It was a car commercial, and they wanted a athletic girl to play basketball with the dad. And so she's sitting there in a room of all these girls that are all like, you know, she's 5 foot, and all these girls are 5 foot seven, 5 foot eight.
And ripped. They're
all playing straight sports, and she's this little singer actress. And she's like,
so funny.
What do you even call me in for? Of course I'm not going to get this role. But you have to be like that. Like, this wasn't about me, that I'm not good. It's that that somebody fits it better than I do. And so
somebody fits it better. Absolutely. And it's all just part of the process. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it and, you know, would be out there. And it really does take thick skin. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because it's also just this industry, you know, things change on a dime.
Yeah.
And you can film an entire commercial, an entire series, a whole pilot for something, and then it just never airs. You know, because one person said, you know what, no, I don't want that on my network. And it's just like, you got to move on. You got to roll with the punches. But to your point also, we are, and women, I think, are more you know, sensitive to the fear of rejection, and we traditionally take less risks. And I think it is because we are a more intuitive and a more sensitive gender. I don't even know, you know, if I can want to say that, but we are. And because of it, we naturally take things more personally, and it's in our, it's kind of in our DNA, and like, it's the beauty of us, but it's also what can hold us back if we can't step outside of those confines and realize that it's not anything against us. It's just the way of the world or the industry or whatever it is you're taking that risk in.
Absolutely. So let's talk about accomplishments, something that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you.
Ooh, wow. I will say, when I started on my more creative, you know, journey of like entertainment, it was just to pursue acting. And it's, acting is something I've always loved and always wanted to do. And I felt very good about my decision. And a couple of months in, I was like, you know, I've also always been curious about stand-up comedy, and I just want to try it. Like, I want to face this fear and give it a go and just see what happens. And sure enough, I did. And I had a roommate who really held me accountable, and we were big on setting, you know, we would call them Sunday goals, and we would set our Sunday goals, and then we'd do them that week and hold each other accountable. And it was great. And, she was like, Morgan, if your Sunday goal is to go to an open mic and do some comedy, like, we got to do it. So we went one Saturday, and it was such a thrill. And it has, and this was like last, like the fall of last year. And so many wonderful opportunities have come to me through comedy since I started. And I will say, it's just felt like one of those choices and like something cool that I've done in my life, where I've all of a sudden felt like I was very in alignment with what I was supposed to be doing. And through comedy, I mean, the first like actual show I got to do in comedy, it was like a showcase show, and you know, I had to bring so many guests, whatever, but I was on it with a headliner who was my favorite comedian, named Rachel Feinstein. She's hysterical. And sure enough, they were like, yeah, we're going to have, you know, X amount of new faces. And then we have Rachel Feinstein headlining. I was like, what are the odds that my favorite comedian of all time is on my very first show ever? And things have just been, they've been going well. Like, I've been booking other shows and had a few paid things that have been awesome. And I even did like a quick, you know, I had a really good opportunity at the end of last year on a TV show. So I just cannot complain. And I even met my current partner, my boyfriend, at Mike at the end of last year.
That's awesome.
Him, if I hadn't started doing comedy. Yeah. So it's good. It's just, you know, it's cool when you try something and you face a fear that you've had, and it turns out to just be this really beautiful and awesome thing. And I feel like, you know, even though I might not have all these credits or anything to, you know, say, oh, this has really gotten me success in the industry, it's something that I'm proud of, because it was a fear, and it's given me a lot of opportunities for both career growth and personal growth just throughout my life ever since.
That's wonderful. Let's talk about an obstacle, because a lot of people have obstacles all the time, and but I think that everybody else on the outside looking in sees people's successes and doesn't see their challenges. So let's talk about one of your challenges and how you work through that.
Well, I mean, to, you know, kind of build on what we were just saying, it's, I would say a big obstacle is just telling, like, remaining positive amidst the negativity in the nose, and just also like telling yourself the right things and like being your own biggest fan and your own cheerleader, and keeping that faith and belief in yourself every day, because you really have to have this blind faith in order to stay on track in this industry, in my opinion. Granted, what do I know? But, you know, from my limited experience, that's what I think is most important, and what can also feel like the most challenging thing is just, you know, only saying kind things to yourself. And when you get in these ruts of, oh, I wish I was doing this, or I could, why can't I do this? Or, you know, I should be at this point. Like, you have to avoid those types of, that negativity and those types of insults. And, you know, it all starts from your own mind, I think, and just keeping a healthy mindset is truly the most challenging. I mean, of course I could say it's, you know, it's challenging to find good representation who will get you into rooms, or, you know, it's challenging to do this, but I think it really does start with just, your own, belief in yourself and maintaining that and keeping it very strong.
I would agree. I think right now that's the difference that I'm seeing in just my community and audience of people that I've, you know, served for over 25 years is mm-hmm. that some people during this virus situation and quarantine are like, okay, well, this is what we're dealt with. Like, okay, how are we making the most of it? And then I've got other people on day one of the quarantine are saying, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to get through with this. And I'm thinking, it's just day one. But
it's day one.
Really, the mindset. I mean, like, they
totally
decided to take their mind into the what ifs and what's going to happen then. And you know, it's, I find that in those first few days, I was saying nothing to my audience because I was kind of like trying to figure it all out. Like, why are people doing this? Then I just realized they are, you know, they just need to learn to be present and be thankful for what is good today. What can I do today mm-hmm. that's positive? You know, what is still right? What is, you know, not changed? And what are the fun things that we can do in our house? Like, what can we do to make the most of this? And so I just think it's really important. Like, for us, we've just sort of been on vacation. Like, that's how we've treated it. And then today I'm like, okay, guys, vacation is over. Now we need to create new routines. So you can't go your old routine, but we have to have new routines today. But we've all still stayed very positive, but I'm amazed at how many people and the posts I see are, you know, I don't know if I can take this. And I'm thinking, sure you can. And
sure you can. Yeah, it's all it mindset. It really is.
Mindset. And I've seen it show up with this than more like in your face than I have ever seen it with anything in a very, very long time. So
totally.
In our pre-interview, you talked about your greatest challenge and I would love you to talk about this only because you're young, and a lot of people, mm-hmm. when they go through getting sober or they go through an addiction of some kind, they're usually a few years older, you know, and or at least that's who share, right? And so we don't hear young people sharing as much. And I love the answer that you gave about your greatest fear or challenge was, would your friends accept you? And I just think it would be very inspirational for other young entrepreneurs listening to this for you to share a little bit about what we did in the pre-interview.
Totally. So just talk about my decision to quit, is that what you wrote, referring to then?
I feared the loss of friends and support when I decided to stop drinking.
Yes.
Just like you were afraid that they were going to accept you, or how was that going to be socializing? So,
totally.
I would love for you to, if you don't mind, I mean, you wrote it in the pre-interview, so if you don't mind.
Yes. No, I would love to. I didn't remember that, but I would love to talk about it, and I appreciate the so when I had stopped drinking, I had made this decision for myself because I knew that it just wasn't serving me anymore. And it wasn't that I had hit rock bottom or I'd gone to rehab or anything, which I think, you know, a lot of people have this assumption that you do when you make this decision so young. But I just knew that I liked my life more when I wasn't hungover or I wasn't drinking. And I just felt so much more in control of my thoughts and where I wanted to go. And it was very in contrast with the life I had built. Like I had, you know, I have a lot of friends who are drinkers and my family drinks, and most of the people in my life were not sober. And so to make this, you know, in my head, I had all this doubt that that they wouldn't support me and that they would turn, or I'd lose them and I wouldn't, you know, have the same life and community that I had built, and I would be leaving them behind. When in reality, I noticed that, you know, the more open and honest I was about the topic, and the more that I just owned it and kind of said, this is the new normal, this is the way it is, and you don't have to be okay with it, but this is what's best for me, the more that I was able to really like stay true to what I knew was best and what I needed as Morgan, the more that they said, that's great. And they did support and catch on. And I will say that getting sober and going through my 20s now for almost a year and a half as sober, like, and just being vocal about it, I have been able to have the most meaningful and inspiring conversations with other women who feel the same way. And people come out of the woodwork, you know, they're like, oh, we went to grade school together and I saw this post about this, and, you know, I just want to know how you do it. And it's just been so good, because in my opinion, it is such a superpower to be able to say no to something that society deems as this be all end all, you know, the most important, that we use drinking in every occasion. You know what I mean? We use it when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're bored, we drink as a society. And to find the beauty outside of that and, you know, connect with others who are also sober, and those who are sober curious, who want to get sober. It's just been, it's been really powerful, and it's been just as much a part of my journey as anything else in my 20s and in my my venture to find and work from my happy place, so to speak.
That's awesome. So that being sort of the theme of the show, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh my gosh. It means waking up and feeling like no matter where you are, you know that you are going to enjoy your day, and what you have planned are only things that bring you joy, and that you can, you know, find solace and, take pleasure in, because I think that's what's so important. People don't make time for joy. And if you can find that and just fill your life with it as much as you can, then eventually you'll just be in your happy place. And, you know, I really do love my life, and I can say that emphatically and truthfully. And I don't think a lot of people my age can, and I just feel really fortunate. I think it takes, you know, knowing yourself and allowing the time to get to know yourself, and then just building on what you're curious about and what brings you joy.
Awesome. So what advice would you give to others wanting to pursue something completely different and going down this entrepreneurial path?
My advice would be to just take the first step. Just make, you know, a list of, okay, here's the goal, right? Here's ideally what I want to be doing, and here's one little thing I can do to get there. You know, whether that's if you wanted to, I don't know, if you wanted to start a sewing business and sell clothing that you've made, or, you know, be a seamstress for someone else, you know, your first step might be buying the website domain, or it might be posting a picture of it to social media, or it might be making an Instagram handle. Like, I don't know what it is, but just take that first step. And to what I was saying earlier, just try and inspire yourself and, like, you know, get momentum behind it and just tell yourself, I can. Like, just take that first step, that first little leap, and trust that it will snowball and evolve into something bigger, and you've got this.
Perfect. Great. Any new and exciting things you want to share with our audience? And otherwise, just let them know where they can find you and follow you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I do have, kind of on this topic, I have a web series coming out within, well, it's been a little delayed, but, you know, within the next couple months, it will be called Obviously Not LinkedIn, where me and another actress out in LA on the West Coast, we do interviews with people who are not on LinkedIn, who have on tradition, a comedian, a worker, a cat, a nanny, dog walker. We've got all these really cool people telling really cool stories about their job outside of the world. It's called Obviously Not LinkedIn, and we will be launched very soon. So that's what I'm excited about. If people want to, you know, show up and support that, they absolutely can. And you can also find me on Instagram at Morgan Carroll, and Carroll is C-A-R-R-O-L-L, not like the first name. Site where I host, you know, different things, pursuits and comedy things. And it's Morgan Carroll Beck's, Morgan Actor. And I think that's about where I exist.
Awesome.
Primarily online.
That is fabulous. Well, Morgan, thank you so much for sharing with us today. It was a lot of fun, and it certainly was a nice break in my day, being quarantined at the house. And I think that the more that we can just be positive and keep in our normal routines is like the most important thing we can do right now. So thank you so much for joining me today. And I just want to remind all of our listeners that if you enjoy what you've heard today, then please subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. And that way you'll never miss a single episode. So have a great day, everyone. And thanks for joining on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.